If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Something interesting happened the other day. You sent us a picture, which was crazy.
Of what?
The fucking dude with the bird
on his shoulder. Oh, is that not
who? Justin had just talked about how people with a bird on their shoulder are crazy. And we were all laughing. And I'm like, well, they're probably a pirate. And I've never really seen one.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe once in my life. Maybe on Venice Beach when I was a kid.
He was on a...
And literally a dude drives up next to you.
Oh,
the irony was amazing.
Oh, I was talking to my girls on my way home from work, right? And literally this... convertible Chrysler pulls up right next
convertible
to me.
Too.
Yeah, convertible Chrysler.
Doesn't get any better than that.
And I look to my left and the dude has a white parrot on his shoulder and I'm like freaking out. My girl's like, what's wrong? What's going on? I'm like, no, I'll call you later. And I hung up on her so I could take a picture. I had to take a picture. I was like, this is crazy because Sal just brought this up on the podcast and you guys were talking, or Justin brought it up. You made the comment about you should be a pirate, right? You said
those are the only people. If the only people that should ever walk around with a bird on their shoulder are pirates.
Yeah.
If you're not a pirate, you're fucking weird to walk around the bird on your shoulder, dude.
Yeah.
So this dude was driving. So we, you know what? I'll send the picture to you. You got to post it. You should post it on our Mind Pump page or our Mind Pump forum.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember Predator? How he had that freaking laser gun on his shoulder?
Yes.
That everywhere he looked, it turned. And it'd shoot things. It's like that, except it's a bird, so you can't shoot shit with it. So
yeah,
it's
the worst
weird.
Part is like,
yeah, a laser on your shoulder is pretty fucking cool, bro.
It's a bird. It wants to fly. Yeah. You're making it sit on your shoulder like an asshole.
And it's not even on a branch.
I'm like,
it's on your shoulder.
Like, well, why is it like, was it cleaning your ear with its little beak?
Well,
so what is it doing?
We both know that at one point it has to take a shit, so it just shits down your back too when it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely
gonna take a
now,
shit.
Now, are people with a snake around their neck as weird?
That's pretty weird too.
It's weird.
Unless
but
you're
it's...
a WWF wrestler. So that's that
or
one.
You're Britney Spears and it's that's hot. That's,
if you
that's good stuff.
If you are a pirate, you're allowed a parrot on your shoulder. If you wrestle in the WWE, then you're allowed a snake around your neck. Or you look like Britney Spears. Those are the only options that you
but
can put
yeah, if
a
you're
reptile
a wrestler
or a
hasn't,
fucking bird on your shoulder.
A wrestler hasn't done a bird yet.
I do feel like it's a guarantee that you're not going to get mugged if you have a snake around
or
your
late,
neck.
I'll be honest, or laid though, for that matter.
Yeah. I'll be honest, there is an exception. If you got a fucking falcon... You're a badass, and I'm not going to talk shit.
If you get like a bald eagle,
it's just
or
like, you know, get him, Experion, and then
true.
It like flies out
what
and it like kills something.
What was his name?
Know.
Experion?
Experion.
You know what? You're right. Either you have to be a pirate or you have to be a Mongolian bird hunter with a falcon on his shoulder. Have you guys seen those pictures?
Yeah.
There's a dude where like he's got like animal pelts on,
yes.
And he's got a fucking falcon on his shoulder. And, when you look at that picture as a man, you can't help but think to yourself.
It's got talons.
Yeah,
that thing is a badass.
I look at that picture of the Mongolian fucking eagle hunter or whatever he is called. And I look at it. I can't help but think to myself, wow.
Like, it's fucking majestic.
I am a pussy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I look at that and I'm like, I am not nearly as manly as he is. It looks like he has five animal pelts
to do his
covering
bidding.
Him.
It's almost like his minion that's out killing.
And he's got a falcon.
Kill them.
It's just digging into his shoulder. That's like it's gripping onto his flesh. And he doesn't give a
go
shit.
Go get me fish.
Yeah. he's looking off into the
kills
in the distance. And he's on a horse and it's in the snow. He's up in the fucking Himalayas.
Dude, on a horse. He's got a falcon on his shoulder. He's wearing pelts,
bro. I'm gonna
he's
tell you,
I got a bow and arrow.
That's so manly that if Adam, me and you stood next to him, people would look at that picture and be like, oh, you brought your wives. It's nice to meet your wives. Because that's how
you
manly
your bitches,
you would suck the testosterone out of your body just standing next to him.
I mean scientifically speaking, I bet his testicles are massive.
Like, yeah,
I bet they're huge.
He's gotta have a special
balls.
Saddle on
and
his
on
horse.
On his balls he's
that
got the
cradles those
he's
things.
Got a falcon on his shoulder and then he has a pigeon on his testicles.
Okay,
just
so
watching
that's his
over
messenger.
The massive testosterone
if you guys find
ball
that
messenger
weird,
ball pigeon.
If you guys find that weird, what do you think about this is a new thing too. I've seen this more and more now. People that walk their cats.
What?
They walk their cats. They have them on a leash and they walk their cats, dude.
Oh, I will slap you in the bitch face. I'm talking about men that are doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could walk a cat.
Yeah, remind
Aren't cats supposed to be like assholes and not want to be told what to
it's
do?
It's not. Yeah, they don't want to walk.
I'm gonna tag you both on an Instagram on a guy on a guy that's walking around with a fucking cat on his leash.
He's a hipster. He's got to be
totally not, bro. He's totally a fitness icon. How funny is that?
You know. That being said,
that's silly.
That being said, I do like small dogs. I don't know what it is about little dogs. I just love them. I don't know. I just like walking. Like my parents had a, when I was growing up, they had a mini Dachshund for a second. They also had a pit bull, by the way. So we had two dogs. We had a pit bull, a 90-pound pit bull.
And then it got eaten.
And a mini Dachshund. Yeah. And the mini Dachshund was gangster. And I used to walk him, and people would look at me, because I'm not a huge guy, but I'm a relatively big guy. And I'm walking around this little Dachshund. And you know, when you look at it, it's like a little dick walking on the end of a. You ever seen a mini Dachshund?
A wiener dog.
Yeah, they barely hover. It's like a lowrider. Like if you go over a bump, you have to like lift
them.
They
have cool personalities though.
He's a little badass.
Yeah, they
but cool. I like little dogs. Doug's dog. What's her name again?
Bella.
She's a bad little bitch.
Did you adopt her or did you actually go out and purchase that?
No, we purchased her.
So you say you and your daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. As long as there was some sort of a woman's decision in that puppy.
No, it's my daughter's dog.
I gotta say, if Doug went out and bought that, as cute as that little furry little fucking curly white haired dog is, if Doug went out there and bought that all by himself,
you gotta get a matching purse. Exactly.
Hey,
so,
now because Bella's awesome. I like Bella,
dude.
Yeah, of course.
I have a 9-year-old daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason we bought her. Perfect sense. Is what we're trying to say.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he did not have a 9-year-old daughter that helped him pick that dog, I would say something to Doug. I'd have to give him shit for that. I'd say, this dog is a little too cute for you.
You know what, Doug?
You better make up with it with a spike collar.
You might need to get a falcon.
We got to falcon you up.
Two falcons. Get you one falcon and a smaller one to sit on the falcon. So you've got a two-layered falcon army on your shoulder.
I've always thought it's strange. Guys that are like into cats, you know, dudes that have like lots of cats or whatever.
Lots of cats is weird. Yeah. One cat is okay.
Yeah, I like
but if
cats.
You go over a dude's
the thing
house,
is I like cats, I, but it's just not. I don't know if you're like into it, you know, into cats. Like that is an issue.
That's all I'm saying.
That's something.
Yeah.
We managed to irritate 90% of our audience in every episode. Yeah, all you cat lovers out there.
Hey, you know, to each their own. I mean, like we said, we all make.
But
if
you're a single person. And you have a lot of cats, it's kind of weird. Man or woman, I don't know. You know, cat ladies are kind of, you know, it's a little strange.
Or a spider guy.
No, fuck spiders, dude. I don't like spiders.
Spider
at all.
Guy?
Spiders are weird.
Yeah, you ever people are in those atriums and they got like a big old freaking.
Did I even tell you guys? Can I talk about this? I have a great story.
Another spider story?
No, it wasn't even spiders. It was snakes. So I used to live in this house. It was like a fraternity house. I wasn't in the fraternity, but I was living upstairs with one of my friends and this guy down the hallway. And I turned out like later on we became friends and everything, but I was like, this guy's fucking weird. He's got long, curly red hair. He's tall as fuck. He wants to be in the WWE.
And he has a snake.
And he's got not just a snake. He had like 20, 25 snakes.
Wow.
And like they were big, dude. They're like pythons and everything. So anyway, like I met him and then, you know, actually he's a really nice guy and he's funny and everything. And we ended up moving into a house in San Jose. And anyway, so I lived like in this room right next across the hallway from his room. And one night I get home from work and I was working at this restaurant and I come in, I'm all tired. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. And I turn the lights on and I open the sheets and this fucking snake jumps out and like tries to bite me.
In your bed?
In my bed.
What?
And wow. I was like, grabbed it by the neck and threw it into the.
You grabbed the snake?
Yeah. I grabbed it through. I'm like, hey, get your fucking snake out of here, dude. I was so freaked out. I'm like, I'm going to kill it. He's like, don't kill it.
Get a shovel.
I knew it was his pet, you know, and I'm like, God.
That could have been a lot
so
worse.
Creepy.
That could have been a lot worse. It could have been at the bottom of the bed. You could have snuck into bed.
Dude, I was thinking like if I would have just crawled in and not even known, and then it would have been on me.
It would have found a dark, warm cavernous area. You would have had
there been some penetration.
You would have gotten some anal from the fucking. Hey,
Sal, were you starting to laugh? Like I was starting to laugh as soon as Justin told the story because it was a college fraternity story, and I remember the last time he told it was the most epic story he's told on Mind Pump yet. If you have not listened to it, you have to go back and listen to Squirrels and Sparkly Tints when Justin's telling the story. He's like, and then. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
We're like, wow, that wasn't that
good. Yeah, right.
No,
remember, because I interrupted him, and he's like, I wasn't even finished, bro. And I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. Sorry. No, finish your story. Then he tells like two lines, and then he goes, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there's some,
I like to wrap it up. You know what I mean?
There's some weird people out there, like the bearded lady, bro. I don't want to say it too loud. Dude. I don't want her to hear me, bro.
We have a bearded lady in our complex.
Come on, guys.
No.
It's
so awkward.
Justin gets so nervous. He's like, she can hear us. She's literally the building right next to us.
No, not the building. She's like two doors down.
I mean the wall next to us. Well, that's what I meant to say. The room next to us.
Yeah, because she's a massage therapist. I'm sweating. I'm going to fucking whisper, bro.
Well, I find this very weird. Why are we whispering? There's, you know what I'm saying?
Because, man.
We're in a soundproof room.
Justin's hating this.
Like, I like to be nice to people. You know what I mean?
No. She's
for the most part.
No, there's nothing mean. She's just a bearded lady because she has a beard.
I think that
it's not really a full beard though. It's sparse.
it's like Billy Goat esque.
I just find that weird though. You're a massage therapist. There's certain things like I feel like that are important, like your hygiene, your cleanliness, your beard. Well, those things like you should have. Like even me, I would, if I'm a massage therapist, I'm rubbing you and stuff like that. Like I've got this dirty, manly looking beard right now, and it's kind of rugged and cool because I don't massage people. Yeah, but if I massage people, I would shave it off.
Yeah, but your beard is, it's trimmed and shaped.
Yeah.
Hers is like, it's like, what does it look like? You know when you put a potato in water and then the white, what are those called? Like the roots come out at the bottom.
Terrible image. You're
it's like that.
Right
they're like,
now.
I'm trying to paint the picture. I'm trying to paint the picture. It's like sparse, long. They're searching for water.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
Yeah, they are kind of like long and rooty.
It almost looks like hair on the chin.
Yeah, it's either
or
it's like, that would be bad.
It's that mole. It's that white mole that just like has those years out, you know, behind it, like the long straight.
Oh, I haven't gone in and looked that hard. You guys look that hard? I'm afraid to look that hard.
There's probably something.
Bro, we're gonna
I get nervous in situations.
She's gonna kill us, dude.
I get nervous in situations like that because I'm the type of guy who you know, if you have a booger in your nose or you have something in your eye, like I want to tell you, like I'm not, you know, if I'm talking to you, hey bro, hey Sal, you got something right here.
That's a great point.
I'm like, oh, she has to know.
No. This is a good
point. So I feel like I need to tell her, hey, you missed the spot.
You know what, bro? We're not being nice right now because we're not telling her. Yes.
Oh.
I think Adam should go tell her, Justin.
What the fuck?
No, listen. I have to. Because, bro, you're handsome.
Yeah, dude, you brought it
you're
up.
This is what you're going to say to her. You're going to go up to her. I'm going to help you out right now.
Send the Duff.
No, I'm going to tell you. No. I'm sending you.
Duff sits this one out.
No, you're going to go over there, Adam, and you're going to be like, hey, you know, you're going to inquire about massage. So then she's going to start thinking about.
Inquire about
massage. She's going to, listen, fuck, shit. Shut up. Listen. She's going to think about how she's going to be able to put her hands all over your muscular
body. Doug's not going to let us record or air this episode.
You should probably like approach it shirtless.
No, and then you're gonna go up to her.
Can I just say how uncomfortable I am right now?
Yeah, Doug's not gonna let us air this, bro.
Yeah, listen, you're gonna go up to her, you're gonna inquire massage, and then when she starts talking about it, you're gonna say, please don't take any offense to say, but you're beautiful. I find you a very attractive woman. You're a very pretty woman. Oh my God, thank you so much. So you flirt a little bit, and then you say this to her. Then you say this to her. God, if you just shave that beard, it would be irresistible. I wouldn't be able to control myself.
Whoa, dude.
Just like that, because it's already good, and then she's thinking,
what do I do when she shaves herself and tomorrow she knocks on the studio door? Adam, waiting for my date.
Nothing. Then you just cold.
Then you know what I do? I go like, this whole time, actually, it was Sal who wanted me to come say this to you, but he was really nervous to talk to you, so he's totally excited.
Or what we could do is we could help her braid it so she looks like,
God.
What was that that wrestler, Lou Albino? What was it, Albano? Oh, or what was his name? Right. The dude who had the rubber bands in his fucking
Doug's going to have to edit so much of this.
All right.
Wow, that was
all right. What was that question we were supposed to go through? What was that question? We're going to go through the Q&A.
You know what? My buddy Mike.
How long have we been on? How long have we been talking about nothing for?
About 17 minutes.
That's okay. That's fine. Why did you do a sexy voice all of a sudden?
That's
you're That was weird, right?
Dude, you got totally called out.
Isn't that weird?
Perfect. You did get called out right there.
That wasn't a sexy voice. That was a frustrated voice.
Oh, that was frustrated.
Like that.
Because Doug, no, I think when Doug, I get angry, I get sexy.
I think Doug has a female beard fetish a little bit. That's what I think. No. I think it got him turned on a little bit.
I think ever since we've done this dating thing, I think he's concerned that, you know, these women that he's going to end up dating, they're going to go back and listen to the episode. He wants to make sure he sounds good on the radio.
Yeah, like hey, girls. Yeah.
She's like, wow, you have a sexy voice, Doug.
Well, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, thank you. I'm the producer.
That bass.
I'm the producer. If you haven't noticed, I'm the one who tells these guys what to do.
Oh, fuck. We need to move on. I'm getting uncomfortable with all this freaking sexiness coming through the mic. All right, what was the question? What was it?
So Mikey, Mikey, who's also a trainer.
What the fuck? So weird.
Mikey is a trainer and over at OTF. He wants to know what our thoughts are on mind muscle connection, the correlation between thinking about contracting a muscle and actually doing it. You know, how important would we say it is?
Okay.
And he specifically says, I would like to hear Sal go on one of his nerdy tangents.
Mm.
Ooh. Mm. Wouldn't we all?
Well, if you extrapolate the data from the...
Empirically speaking.
All right. So mind to muscle connection. Let's explain. God, that's a hard way to trans... We're going from bearded lady to...
I was just thinking about that. I was all right. How is this going
to... Let me just warm up my mouth.
I hit the brakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you know, it's unfortunate. We lost the people that wanted to hear
this
information.
5 times 5 is 25.
And now the people that stayed in
listened to
the
other... Listen, that's what you fucking get. You're not patient. You don't get to hear the fucking information.
That's right. You missed out on episode 137.
You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. So, So here's the deal. Mind to muscle connection. This refers to when you're working out, you're doing, let's say, a compound movement. Let's say I'm doing a bench press and I'm really concentrating on focusing on feeling the movement in my chest more so than in the other muscles that are lifting the weight, like my shoulders and triceps. So that's what he's referring to when he says the mind to muscle connection. Now, scientifically speaking, there's very little evidence to support whether or not this makes a difference. However, athletes, in particular bodybuilders, talk about this all the time. Now, the science does support, I will say this, science does support the mind-to-muscle connection in regards to correctional exercise, okay? When I'm training someone and I'm trying to change a muscle recruitment pattern, I will have them consciously focus on activating a particular muscle because I'm trying to change the recruitment pattern. Go ahead.
How can one?
I see you rolling your eyes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, because that statement itself is almost contradicting. Because how, for rehabilitation reasons, or muscle imbalances, the mind muscle connection has shown that it's proven that it is important and works and makes a difference, but yet it's not in muscle. And I think
I'll tell you why.
Just because the studies aren't there?
Well, no, there's no studies there. And there's evidence going in both directions. Let me give you an example. If I take two people without any muscle imbalances and I have them do a big compound movement like a squat, and one guy I focus on perfecting his form and moving weight. I just want perfect form and move the weight. And then the other guy, I say, I want you to focus on your quads. Just focus on squeezing your quads. The guy that's moving the weight will probably get better results and build more muscle than the guy that's just focusing on quads. Now, that's not taking away from the mind-to-muscle connection. That's just an example of how it can go in either direction, because then on the flip side, if I'm doing a leg extension or a sissy squat or something where I'm trying to isolate and squeeze a muscle and getting more of the exercise than it's going to do if I'm not feeling it, then the mind-to-muscle connection can be important. So I think it depends on the exercise and how you apply it. And also where you're at in your workout. You know, if it's your fourth exercise on your chest or your back, you might be better off, rather than trying to move weight because you're fatigued, to sit there and try and squeeze and feel a particular muscle, if that makes sense. But I think if you focus, all you ever focus on is feeling a muscle, a particular area while you're working out, then you get stuck in that trap. And I've seen people in the gym do this, where every fucking exercise they do, deadlift, squats, bench, everything is in this really super concentrated, got to feel the chest, got to feel the quads, and they don't really build substantial muscle.
Well, that mentality is just for isolating technique, right? It's trying to, I mean, that falls in line with the split routine, that falls in line with, like, aesthetic. But as far as that goes, like, I don't know. For me, I look at the body as one unit, and things that the more ways that I can contribute other muscles into the movement, the better.
Yeah, I would say isolation.
This is going to turn into a fun debate now. I can see where we're all going with this. Yeah, this is going to turn into
go at him.
Well, no, I think I agree. I agree with both you knuckleheads completely.
Well, that's not a debate.
What? Come on.
No, we won, Justin. We won.
Listen, I agree with you guys completely, but now I'm going to put you in your place.
Okay. No, not at all. I think,
speaking as the guy with the biggest arms in the room, I'm going to explain.
Obviously, I've been focusing better than these guys. No, I'm just kidding.
Super focused.
I think that's where you have to separate it. So the sciences, we are a little behind on the science here, because the sciences are proving in the muscle building factor too. Yeah, I brought this up before. If you follow,
I've seen that. Are they showing now though better muscle growth?
They have studies.
Or they're just showing he's activating it more.
No, that's why they make him focus and activate it, because they've shown the correlation between.
And this is the professional bodybuilder Ben Powell. What's his last name?
Ben Pack, right?
Yeah. And he's a big dude though.
Yeah, he's connected to the Muscle Proof. Muscle Proof, I think, is what...
Muscle Professor?
Yeah, the Muscle Professor, who's bodybuilding.com's PhD.
So wasn't he like... They were testing him as he was working out, right? So he had like machines like hooked up with like EKGs. What are those called?
They were able to show the neuron recruitment in like an area. So like if he was doing a bicep flex, he would be doing it, and they would be showing as he's doing the bicep curls, the recruitment that's happening. And then when they would tell him like focus, and he'd be like focusing more, you would see that spike, and you would see more recruitment going on.
Of course.
So in that area.
But isn't that just for recruitment? I mean.
But that's where I'm getting at, is that they have studies to show that that's what correlations is. So I'm just saying that there's stuff for us to definitely learn in this department that I know that I've seen. I'm not an expert by far on any of this, but I know enough that, and then personally too. So what Justin was saying, I think is so important to note, is that it really is kind of like your goal. And because him and I are complete opposites on kind of how we train, and both have obviously had excellent results in muscle growth and whatever it is we're trying to do, just different focuses. You know, mine is so geared on aesthetics that I'm trying to focus on specific areas that I'm trying to form and shape. So for me, like, let's see if I can give an example. So a bench press, you know, so Justin and I might get together and we might decide, we just did this not too long ago, we're going to lift heavy bench. And if you watch how he benches and how I bench, it's completely different. Now he's much stronger than I am. And, you know, I think a part of that reason is that that's how he trains to move that fucking weight. And you can see it when he does it. He utilizes every part of his muscle perfectly in order to lift that weight up as efficiently as possible.
Right. And yet you kill me on the muscle endurance end of it, right? When we get towards the multiple sets and towards the end of it, as we're bringing it back down, I was like dying, getting up into like the 15 rep range.
Which kind of goes to show because it supports.
No, that's more of a result of just he does more of the higher rep stuff than you. I think.
Well, yeah, that's part of the adaptation for sure.
Yeah. But, so and then if you watch so that you know like how I'm training, I do not want anything. Not that I don't want anything, because it's impossible. It's impossible. First of all, and you guys don't know this. It's impossible to isolate a muscle, much less a part of a muscle. But while I'm lifting chest, I am trying to concentrate 100% on resisting with my chest and get as much of that weight movement primarily being used by the chest. And
you can see that by the stance too, like with your arms, like the width, and I can see too, like maybe not quite like the depth, but more like the concentration on the contraction there at the chest. You could see it as you're like pressing it up. There's a lot more of like a squeezing effect to it. Yeah. Whereas I don't even concentrate on that.
Would you say this, Adam? Cause, I'm not saying that concentrating on a muscle is not a good thing, not at all. The argument I'm making is that it works well with some exercises and others it's...
Let me kind of finish what I'm saying too. So what I don't have evidence to support so let's say Justin and I, Justin lifts exactly his way, I lift my way, and I'm saying mine's for aesthetic, Justin's saying that his is for overall strength he wants to build. To be honest with you, his way is superior for overall strength, because he's going to end up moving more weight that way. He's going to incorporate other muscles to help that. And like he was saying, like he's looking for overall performance of his entire body, where I'm looking for a specific area. So for overall, if you're just a person who wants to build strength and is looking for overall fitness, and like the evidence supports that that's the direction to go for sure. You know, in the business of sculpting and stuff like that, it's different. So I may lag in the overall strength department because of how I lift, because of that. But it's, once again, it goes back to I'm so concentrated on, you know, shaping a certain way. And I guess it's kind of like if Justin and I both had a block of wood and we're trying to whittle away, he's using a chainsaw and I'm using a little scalpel, you know, and he's going to be able to take bigger chunks out and more progress for sure the way he trains. And that overall, if you're looking for that, that is the way to go. If you're looking for something that is, you know, more aesthetic based and I'm less concerned about overall performance, then.
Well, so here's where I go with that. So here's what I meant by different exercises. So, if somebody's lifting, again, let's say they're doing a squat and they're trying to really squeeze and focus on their quads, they will burn the quads out faster and they will find that they fatigue faster with a lighter weight.
Yeah, you're also going somewhere where I think there's a place for this for different movements. Squatting and deadlifting,
all right,
I put it in a separate category than I would put like...
Well, okay, so a bench press even, or an overhead press even, you know, focusing on the prime mover like the chest, the shoulders. If you're squeezing and focusing on the chest, you're going to feel the chest more with a lighter weight, a lower load, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you say? Okay. And you're going to get more recruitment of that chest with lighter weight. However, if you add more weight and push, you're still going to get more recruitment. So I think it's... You're looking at two different ways of recruiting more muscle.
But what else are you also going to get more recruitment of?
Shoulders, triceps.
Exactly.
And here's what I was going to say. If you're a bodybuilder training with multiple sets, perhaps you don't want to overload your body as much with maximal weight, but yes, you still want to maximize muscle recruitment. So this might be why bodybuilders tend to do this, because they're minimizing damage while maximizing some of the effects. Now, I would say you could correct that by changing the type of workout you do rather than doing a body part split where you're doing, you know, 15 or 20 sets for your chest. For example, but I will say this, some exercises lend themselves very well to concentrating. Look, if you're doing curls and you're just focused on moving weight, you're not going to get big biceps that way with curls. It's just, you're better off using lighter weight and focusing on the movement. Now, if you're doing a deadlift, you're better off focusing on maximizing your form and lifting heavy.
More bang for your buck.
Much more bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. And then if we take it to another step and we do pull-ups, for example, if I sit there and try and isolate my lats, overall, it's not going to be as effective as if I'm trying to perfect my form and do as much weight as I can for set number of reps. So I think it's a technique that should be utilized properly. And I also think it's a technique that should not be used by beginners except for correctional exercise. I'll tell you something right now. Look, Adam, mm-hmm. you've been working out for a long time.
Yeah.
You can get that mind to muscle connection on a level that a beginner or intermediate person has no fucking clue. They won't be able to. They can't do it. I could ask you right now to flex your left lat sitting in that chair and you could do it. Right? Yeah. I could take the average person who's been working out for 3 years to flex their left lat and they wouldn't know how to do it. Most people don't even bounce their chest. You know, the little tip bounce that dudes do that looks annoying. A lot of people can't even do that and they work out all the time. Well, that's being able to connect to that particular muscle. Yeah. So, you know, again, this is sometimes you see the advice of bodybuilders and athletes come out and it really applies to a small percentage of people
trying to build muscle. Okay, I want to piggyback off that. This is why I try my best to at least say this in my Instagram, those that follow and listen, is that, you know, I by no means endorse the way I train myself for the average person whatsoever.
You do a good job of clarifying when I read your things, though. You do say this is more of an advanced technique, and I've seen that quite a bit.
Or this is for the sport of the reason, right, or this is for the sport of it, you know, things like that. That why I train. I mean, aesthetically, I'm in the best shape of my life, but I am not in the best overall shape of my life. You know, I've been stronger, I've been faster, I've been healthier for sure. You know, I'm banged up for sure. And I feel like an athlete, you know, and that's the part where I remember where Craig and I used to debate all the time, because he's like, if you're a men's, you're not an athlete if you get up there. Bodybuilding is not a sport, you know, like. Okay, fair enough. You can say you're not, it's not a full contact sport like football and you're not competing like that against another man. But at the same token, the training that goes into it is what's sport like. You know, there's a part where I neglect, just like a sport would, I neglect what's best for my body a lot of the times and for the greater good of the sport to continue shaping my physique mm-hmm. a certain way. And mm-hmm. I think the way we design maps and stuff like that is to present this to the average person who was looking for overall health, fitness, and a balanced, great looking physique. And this is the best approach for that, especially if you're, you know, not advanced. Now, that being said, like, you know, that's how I definitely started. And now in order to keep this physique to where I'm at now, like I have to maintain it by doing all this kind of ridiculous weight training and stuff that I wouldn't do, you know. I know already that when I hang up the competing thing, you know, I'm gonna have to come down to probably about 200 pounds to high 190s to keep the leanness and the way I feel without having to be so neurotic about how much food I need to consume and how hard I need to be pounding the body. Because I know I'm no idiot. I know I'm working against my body where it wants to be naturally.
There's definite exercises that, you know, mind and muscle connection works well. You know, side laterals, rear laterals, front laterals, bicep curl, tricep extension. You know, any type of isolation movement. It makes sense. Look, when I was younger, I would do side laterals and I'd treat them like a freaking heavy power lift exercise. And I'd grab 40-pound dumbbells
Throwing it out there.
Yeah. I could use 20s now and really connect to that side deltoid and get a much better results from it. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, when I do a shoulder press, I'm going for good form and heavy weight. So it really depends on the exercise quite a bit. But unless you're like advanced, you've been working out for a long time, you know, really sitting there trying to like isolate, you know, a particular muscle with this big compound movement, like a like I'm doing a barbell row and I'm trying to squeeze my lower lats and my you're not going to do as well if you just focus on form, focus on moving weight. And I mean, I guess that's kind of just the point.
Support your spine. I mean, that's the other thing,
right?
That you have to consider. I mean, it'd be great as if you could always feel like the specific muscle you want involved, but a lot of times, like, and that's why it makes sense for the corrective phase you're talking about.
Oh yeah, because you need them to feel.
You need to feel how it should feel, and like, really, you need to establish recruitment patterns. That's the biggest part in the beginning, is that you need to establish the right mechanics for specific lifts. And so, if you don't even have that connection made yet, you really should focus on that. In particular, like, do I feel this in the right muscle? You know, is this...
Well, I'll also add, even if you get too far into the mind to muscle connection, if every workout becomes I'm trying to feel the target muscle and squeeze it with every exercise, you actually will create recruitment patterns that are not favorable for everyday movement. And I've seen it a million times. I'll see the bodybuilder deadlift and it looks like they're doing an interesting, like a row type movement with the deadlift, or I see them doing, you know, a squat or a bench press, and they're positioning their body in a way to work that particular muscle, but it's not in a very efficient way for particular movement. Right. And so then they go out and they
take, deadlift is not just about back. It's not just about
everything. You
know, it's your whole body.
It's your whole. So and then they go.
You can't look at it as a this is a back and leg exercise.
Yeah. And then they go to the park and go run around the bases a few times with their kid, and they hurt themselves.
Yeah.
Because their body, now they've trained it to work on, you know, this isolated type of movement.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think part of what probably makes Mike, I believe Mike is a NASM trainer. I believe that was his certification. So I believe that's what he holds, which, you know, you remember.
They're heavy in the correctional exercise.
Well, heavy into that and proprioception. Like, that's a big, I believe there's a whole section on, God, it's been so long since I've looked over my NASM.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's one of the seven phases or whatever they work on, is your proprioception and increasing
well,
that.
Well, yeah, the reactive and stability. Yeah. So, yeah.
And a lot of that is working on that whole mind-muscle connection. So, and they put a lot of emphasis in that area. You know, it's a tough one to, it's a tough one to explain, because it is, there's so many ways that I feel like we can debate it either way. You know, like I 100% agree when we're talking about, especially when you're talking about big compound movements like that, that, you know, being able to progress to a heavier weight is going to give you an overall benefit by far. But I also feel like, you know, someone who's put in the time to learn the mind muscle connection, and, you know, okay, this exercise I should primarily feel here. That's the major mover. These are the secondary ones. So I should feel it in all these places, but this is primarily where I should be feeling it, is also a great indicator of form when you don't have somebody around. So one of the best ways I know when my form is on or off, and that's kind of how, this is also how I gauge, like, let's say I get in and you know, I have plans of four sets of 12. and I'm going to be, you know, working at 80 or 90% of an intensity, and we're doing dumbbell presses. And I get under there and I start dumbbell pressing, and I'm at, like, let's say rep 8 on my 4 set, and my chest is just toast. And now it's just like shoulders and triceps I feel like are muscling everything. I'll probably set the weight down. I won't even finish. I won't go to 12 reps. And I know even though I could probably muscle out those last 12, I won't. I'll shut it down because I already know that all these other secondary muscles are overloading. Right. So
you know,
so
you could distinguish like which one is the prime mover.
Yeah,
you know, in that instance, and that's a great point though, as far as form is concerned, because if you haven't established that recruitment pattern to identify the prime mover,
you don't even know if you're not doing it
right.
How
do you even know if you're in the right positioning? And it brings me back to Sal. You know, mentioning like optimal positioning for the shoulder, and like how, you know, you need that retraction, you need it depressed, and this is now where it's in its most optimal functioning position. But you know, unless you've established the fact that you can feel your rhomboids, you know, and all these other contributing muscles that are going to pull you into the right position, you know, where do you begin?
I'll say this too, you need to have a relatively, and I mean relatively because it's on an individual basis, but a relatively substantial amount of muscle to have a mind muscle connection. Mm-hmm. This is true. Listen, when I first started fucking working out,
I'm going to say that to a client.
This is like, Captain Obvious now.
Yeah, right. Adam, I can't feel it in my arms. I can't feel. Well, that's because you don't have any fucking arms, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I can just say that. I don't know if you
remember. According to Sal, you don't have muscle.
Well, I'm going to be the guy that's going
to
say it.
Yeah, someone needs to tell you.
You don't have muscle.
Well, do you remember?
You have Kermit arms.
Do you remember the first time you felt your lats? You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It wasn't your first back workout. It was much later when you started to build lats, and then you started to pull, and like, oh fuck, I have a pump, and what? That's my lats.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I could feel them. So that my point is, if you're unless you're advanced and you're sitting there trying to squeeze these other, if you haven't built some muscle there, you're not going to have that much. Like, you're not going to feel anything. I can't feel my rhomboid because you have
it's so jiggly. Why? Yeah. I want to feel something.
So. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and please subscribe to our show.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.